Chapter 92.
How long do we have?
Iron Fist asked Kip. An hour. Kip had told Iron Fist only that there was a deal with Andross, and that relieving Iron Fist of his position hadn't been part of it. Iron Fist nodded, not wasting words on the obvious. They had to move fast. They walked quickly into the Blackguard barracks. Tia met them at the door, playing it off to the squad like she'd just arrived from downstairs. Almost all the Blackguards were on shift today. There was so much work to do on a Sunday that even the Nunks had been pressed into crowd patrol and guard duty and overwatch. There were only four or five Blackguards in the barracks, and those were napping for a half hour or grabbing a quick meal before heading out for more shifts. Most surprising, though, was seeing Ben-Hadad.
"Oh, thank Orholam," he said. "I've been looking everywhere for you all. What is all this stuff? Coin sticks? Weapons? Writs of—"
"Shut it, Ben-Hadad," Kip said. "Not now.
I can't wait to tell you where I've been. I was—"
Ben-Hadad started.
"Ben,"
Kruxa said.
"Meet me here in three,"
Iron Fist said, not even slowing. The squad scattered, each going toward their own bunks and chests.
"Wait," Kip said. He already had all his stuff. "What are you all doing?"
The sleeping Blackguards perked up instantly.
"What's happening, Commander?" Stump called, sitting up.
"I'm not your commander anymore,"
Iron Fist said, not even slowing as he went to his own room.
"I've been relieved of duty."
He might as well have hit them with lightning.
"What?"
Lem asked.
"What the hell?"
Stump asked. But Iron Fist didn't answer. Kip followed him.
"Sir, how much should I tell you?"
he asked. Iron Fist didn't turn. He started loading a pack.
"Is what you're doing right?"
"It's not wrong. It's smart. It's for the good of my squad and the Satrapies."
"Sounds right to me, then."
"Will you come with me?" Kip asked. "Even just as far as the docks?"
Iron Fist paused. There was a small bag sitting on his desk. He picked it up, looked inside.
"Andross, that old fox."
He breathed out again, then he walked over to the painting he kept of a young Parian woman, took out his knife and slit down the canvas next to the frame. He reached in and pulled out a ceramic tube. He smashed it on his desk. Inside was a slip of paper.
"What's that?"
Kip asked.
"Orders,"
Iron Fist said. He read them.
"From the White. One in the event of her natural death. One in case of her murder. But no, Kip, I can't go with you. If I do, whoever it is your grandfather is trying to fool won't believe it for a second. He has a falling out with you and with me at the same time. And I go wherever you go and protect you, it's too convenient."
"I hadn't thought of it that way," Kip said.
"Your grandfather doesn't understand personal loyalty. He would never guess that I would want to protect you if there wasn't something in it for me. The old fool."
Kip's eyebrows raised. He'd never heard Iron Fist speak ill of any of the colors, even when he clearly thought it.
"Not a Blackguard anymore,"
Iron Fist said, winking. But the strain on his face was clear.
"I can't go with you. Not after what's happened."
"You don't mean what happened upstairs, do you?" Kip asked, confused.
"Kip, Karis and I rescued your father. He's back on the Jaspers."
"He's back?" Kip said. "He's alive! I knew it!"
"Quiet! He's hurt, badly, maybe crippled. Maybe unable to serve as prism."
"I have to go to him. How can I help?"
"Help by not going to him."
"What? Why? He's my father."
Kip's squadmates were busy with their things, and he wanted to ask them what they were doing, but...
"His father?"
"Because you're about to be pursued by his enemies. Enemies who don't even know that he lives."
"But I want to—"
"Doing what you want will put him in danger. What's more important to you?"
"I wanted to save him myself,"
Kip couldn't say. It was what he'd promised to do. Maybe he'd been involved by prompting his grandfather to send more people looking, but maybe Andross would have done that anyway, and Kip had done nothing at all. Another oath failed. Just like he'd failed to find damning information on Clytos Blue, as his father had asked, what, a year ago? There were too many things happening at once, too many thoughts and too much pressure.
"Where was he? How'd you find him?"
Kip asked.
"I didn't even realize you were gone."
"We saved him from my sister, the Nukaba. She was having him blinded."
"Your sister? I didn't even know you had a—"
Kip looked at the painting.
It was of a pretty young woman, hair strung with jewels and piled high, vibrant brown eyes lit with orange halos.
"The Dekarbas, your sister!"
But Iron Fist ignored that. He said,
"And Andros is right. Many or most of the blackguards would join me if I went with you, even as far as the docks. Think of what happens if you split the blackguard. What would victory be? If our half killed the others, what would we do then? Murder Andros, and then what? Lay down our arms and be executed? Seize control? Rule the Chromeria ourselves? That isn't who we are."
"So what do we do? Just let him win?"
Kip was furious. He was doing exactly what that murdering spider wanted him to do, but there didn't seem to be any way out. He couldn't even go to the one man who might be a match for Andros Guile. His father was finally here, and Kip had to leave?
Now? Before he even saw him?
Kip said,
"He planned this. He's doing it on Sunday on purpose. What everyone will be talking about will be Sunday, and this year's party, and the new Prism Elect, and what does anyone know about him? And there'll be tributes to the White, who everyone loved, and speculation on who'll replace her. Normally it would be a huge scandal that he stripped your commission, but this, that you and me got kicked out. Anything else that happens today will just be buried under the other news, right?"
"If you're looking for justice, look not to Earthbreaker."
Iron Fist looked up suddenly to the crystal embedded in the wall. It strobed yellow, then red, then yellow. The crystals were rarely used. The system was delicate and difficult to fix. It was only normally used for initiation day to announce the colours of new drafters coming through the threshing, and for emergencies. Only the higher Luxiats and Blackguards were supposed to have access to them.
"That's not one of our codes,"
Iron Fist said.
"What?"
Kip asked. But Iron Fist was already on his way out of the room.
"Who's going with Breaker?"
Iron Fist asked.
"Quick! I can't. My path is different."
Slight Delos seemed to be gathering his courage, and he spoke quickly.
"My parents would die if I left Breaker. This is all they've ever wanted for me. It's all I've ever wanted for myself, sorry."
"I'm not blaming you, Delos. But it only meant getting me to the docks," Kip started.
"No, that's not what I meant,"
Iron Fist said.
"You go with Breaker. You're out of the Blackguard. Permanently. The Promarchos has spoken."
"I'll go,"
Kruxa said. His voice was steady, but he looked like he was dying.
"Cut the stitching on the side of your insignia,"
Iron Fist said.
"Wait, what?"
Kip said.
"Kruxa, what are you saying?"
"I'll go,"
Fakuti said.
"In,"
Big Leo rumbled.
"Wait, what is this?"
Kip said.
"Same here,"
Goss said.
"Wouldn't be anywhere else,"
Tia said.
Winston shrugged. "Sounds fun. I'm in."
"No time,"
Iron Fist said.
"Line up now. You each found a paper in your pack. Sign it."
"Stop it,"
Kip shouted.
"What are you doing? You've worked your entire lives to be blackguards. You're this close. I have to go. But me going means you can stay. Me going means I won't ever have to fight you."
"Breaker,"
Kruxa said.
"Don't you understand? We're all good enough to be blackguards. The commander has offered promotions to every last one of us. But we wanted to be blackguards not because we wanted to have the clothes and the admiration."
"I thought the clothes and the admiration were pretty great," Tia said.
"I like the clothes and admiration,"
Fakuti said.
"Fakuti,"
Kruxa said.
"What? She just said the same. Ow! Ben, what did you elbow me for?"
"All the trappings are wonderful," Kruxa said. "But we all wanted to be blackguards because we wanted to serve a high purpose."
"But what if I'm not the—"
Kip said.
"It doesn't have to do with that," Kruxa said.
But Kip wasn't sure the rest of the squad agreed.
"What purpose is there in us serving evil men?"
Ben-Hadad asked,
"What good are the trappings of honour if the honour itself is dead?"
"I still like the trappings,"
Fakuti murmured. He was mournfully turning his gold inductee's fight token over in his hand.
"Breaker,"
Tia said,
"we love it here. We don't want to go, but we want to go with you."
Just when he thought he was going to lose it all, Kip felt warmth suffusing him like his body was filling with light.
"You'll find two pairs of blacks in your bags,"
Iron Fist said.
"I heard some of you only joined up in the first place because you wanted the clothes."
But no one laughed. The blacks were not just a gift, rich beyond imagining, stretchy, soft and comfortable, luxurious and useful. They were the ultimate symbol of the elite blackguard and what the squad was giving up. that their commander gave them the blacks anyway told them that he thought they were worthy of the honour and the brotherhood they were choosing to sacrifice. Iron Fist growled.
What? Am I going to have to requisition handkerchiefs? Line up!
Kip could barely see through his brimming eyes, but the squad lined up immediately and he took his place at the end.
Your black guards no more,
Iron Fist said. He walked down the line, took each signed release and ripped the black guard insignia and rank off their sleeves. Kip was the last. It felt as if Iron Fist tore his heart out.
Lem,
Iron Fist said,
take these papers down to the secretary's desk and have them copied in triplicate and put on file.
He handed over the papers and simple Lem disappeared. Iron Fist dug into a bag.
You can call yourselves whatever you want now. Make your own patches if you don't like these. The Promarchos called you the Mighty.
Iron Fist went down the line again and slapped an insignia on each person's left shoulder. It was of a powerful man in black, silhouetted on a red field, standing with feet planted, head bowed, arms straight out to either side, and force radiating from each hand. It reminded Kip of his time in the jungle, when he'd expelled the leeches. Iron Fist said,
Now go! Go with Orholam, and may I see you again. If not on these mortal fields, then in paradise.
They went to the door, and Kip turned as the rest of them went into the hall.
Commander, if I may, where'd you get the patches?
Androskyle had them made.
That many?
Kip asked. Iron Fist nodded.
And the weapons? And the supplies? Minus the blacks?
Unbelievable. Just when Kip felt comfortable hating that old murderer, Andros had given him his squad back.
Andros had not only given them weapons and gear, he'd arranged the writs of release so they wouldn't have to pay back the signing monies that all of them had spent or given to their families or previous owners.
Andros Guile? Generous?
Sir, Kip said, where are you going?
A different front of the same war.
Halt! An unfamiliar voice shouted from the hall where the rest of the squad was.
Which one of you is Kip?
That's me,
Goss said loudly.
What's it to you?
A musket shot rang out.